Hi, I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world. Even though there's toxic chemicals in consumer products and in the environment and in the water we drink and in the clothes we wear and everything else, there are many people who are working to change things, make safer products, help us take toxic chemicals out of our bodies and all kinds of other things so that we can live healthier, happy lives. And these are the people that I'm talking to every day, Monday through Friday, right here. And I know that in my own life, reducing my exposure to toxic chemicals has made a big difference for me. And it can make a big difference for you and for your families. I am on lots of different lists for inspiring quotes, and I get them every morning, in addition to sending them out every morning too. And a couple days ago, I got this one from Dr. Robert Goddard. It is difficult to say what is impossible, for the dream of yesterday is the hope of today and the reality of tomorrow. And I can really see that in my own life. I am, how old am I now? Oh my God, memory's going. I was 58 years old this year in June, and I can see in my own lifetime what a difference our life is to now than it was when I was a child. And in 1960, for example, we didn't have computers. Nobody had computers. We didn't have cell phones. Well, there were computers. I don't know. I guess the government had computers or the CIA or something. But we didn't have personal computers. We didn't have cell phones. We didn't have what else didn't we have? Nylon stockings, pantyhose. We didn't have all kinds of things that we have today. And I even know that when I started working on toxics issues in 1978, there were so many toxic products and so few toxic-free products. And now we have a whole lot of toxic-free products to choose from, and that any of us who choose to not use toxic consumer products can do so because they exist. And so just because something looks like it can't be changed right now, or that we need to do something to make a change, doesn't mean that it can't happen, because everything starts with an idea, a desire, a dream, a thought, and then we put those things into action. Today we're going to be talking about vinyl with Mike Shade from the Center for Health, Environment and Justice. And what the Center for Health, Environment and Justice does, or we'll probably be calling it CHEJ, is that they can help you and your community if you're facing an environmental health risk. So they work with things like if you have a leaking landfill, polluted drinking water, or incinerators, any kind of hazardous waste sites, they can help you with these community things. Thanks for being on the show, Mike.
Thanks so much for having me. Appreciate it.
Well, first I want to hear, and I want my listeners to hear, how the Center for Health and Environmental Justice came to be, starting with Love Canal. And I remember in 1978, was it, or 1980? No, 1970-something. The whole story about Love Canal was in the news, but I know that not everybody is as old as I am, so they might not have been there at the time. So why don't you tell us the story?
Yeah, definitely. So we were founded, our organization founded out of the struggle at Love Canal. We were founded in 1981, but our story goes before that. In way back when, in the 40s and 50s and 60s, Hooker Chemical and other businesses dumped over 20,000 tons of toxic waste into a canal, in the city of Niagara Falls. And, you know, and back then we didn't know as much as we do today about the hazards of chemicals in our environment. This was, in fact, even before, Silent Spring. Many of the chemicals that were dumped in the canal were some of the most toxic chemicals on the planet, dioxin. Even waste from the Manhattan Project, from the first atomic bomb, was dumped in the canal.
Wow.
And in their wisdom, the land was eventually sold to the city of Niagara Falls for just $1 that's how valuable it was, because they knew that this was a toxic nightmare. So unfortunately, in their grand wisdom, the city of Niagara Falls eventually decided to build two schools on top of and next to the canal, as well as hundreds and hundreds of homes adjacent to the canal. Many of the families that moved there were first-time homeowners. Many of them were newlyweds that had just graduated from high school, college, and you know, wanted to start their dream homes there. And so one of the people that lived there was a housewife, a woman by the name of Lois Gibbs, who is our founder and our executive director. She was 27 years old at the time. She had two children. And she had discovered that her child was attending a school, an elementary school, built on top of this canal filled with 20,000 tons of toxic waste. So Lois, as a concerned mom, she started going door to door because her children started getting sick, and she was wondering if it was whether there were other people in the community that were also suffering from health problems. And she soon realized that her children's health problems were not an isolated incident, but many other people in the community were also suffering from health problems, including birth defects, miscarriages, cancer, and other severe health problems. And so Lois, working with her neighbors, they organized a community group, and they forced the government, after years of organizing and protests, even at one point holding two members of the EPA hostage, where they didn't harm them, but they actually fed them milk and cookies, but they wouldn't let them leave Lois's home. They forced the government to close down the two schools and to relocate the entire community of Love Canal. Over 800 families were relocated from this toxic site. And this really was, this was history in the making. This was the first time in the history of the United States that a community was relocated due to a toxic site. And it really awoken the nation to the dangers of chemicals in our community. And it led to the creation of the Federal Superfund Program, which, of course, is the program that cleans up toxic waste sites. And it also raised a lot of awareness among community members from coast to coast that, hey, maybe it's not such a good idea to build a school on top of in a community next to a toxic waste site. And the struggle at Love Canal really helped spark the creation of the grassroots environmental health movement here in the United States today. So our organization was formed after Love Canal. At the time of Love Canal, Lois started getting calls from people all across the country that were concerned that, hey, that, you know, that I might have a Love Canal type environmental problem in my community. And at the time, Lois had called many other national organizations. And unfortunately, many of them basically just blew her off. You know, while they sympathized with her, they didn't really have the capacity or the tools to help Lois and her neighbors. And so Lois realized that there was really a vacuum in the environmental movement. So, you know, with just a little bit of money in the bank, she moved her family to Washington, D.C. to form our organization, the Center for Health, Environment, and Justice, to assist and empower communities across the country that were dealing with environmental health hazards in their communities. And since 1981, our organization has assisted over 11,000 communities across the country, very similar to Love Canal all across the country. So, you know, our organization was really formed out of the struggle at Love Canal back in 1981.
And I so appreciate, and I'm sure others do, that you exist so that you can help on a community level. I didn't know that you'd helped 11,000 communities. That seems like a very large number of communities to have these problems. And it makes me look outside my window and ask myself, is that kind of problem existent here in the community that I live in and that we don't even know? Toxics can be everywhere, and so I'm glad that you're there to help on a community level. After the break, we're going to talk particularly about vinyl and the toxicity of it, the community, where it is in your community. But I want you all to know that Mike, in addition to working for the Center for Health and Environment and Justice, has his own long pedigree of environmental work that he's done, and many, many things. So I'll tell you about a few of those, or he'll tell you about a few of those after the break. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lindat. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and I'm here today with Mike Shade from the Center for Health, Environment, and Justice. And before the break, we heard all about the history of the Center for Health and Environment and Justice, which started with the situation at Love Canal, which had houses built on a toxic waste dump. But I wanted to let you know that Mike has been doing environmental work, exceptional environmental work, for the last decade himself. He has his own history and some of the things. And if you go to toxicfreetalkradio.com, you can read his bio. But I want to mention that he's had over a decade of experience working on environmental health and justice issues. He was the director of the Western New York director of Citizens Environmental Health Coalition. He this is so long. Okay, so he's coordinated the successful national PVC, polyvinyl chloride, and BPA, bisphenol A, marketplace transformation campaigns, which convinced some of the world's biggest companies to phase out PVC, phthalates, and BPA. These are chemicals that I'm writing about all the time and telling you about. So he's the author of numerous reports, including one that I have already linked to, No Silver Lining, an investigation into BPA in canned foods. He's also done one called Volatile Vinyl, The New Shower Curtains Chemical Smell. And that's what we're going to be talking about today is vinyl. And so this man knows all about it. He's done the research, and he's going to tell us about it. So, Mike, start by telling us where we can find vinyl. Maybe you should start by telling us before that about what is vinyl and what's in it besides vinyl.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. So vinyl is commonly used plastic. It's also referred to as polyvinyl chloride, PVC. And it's a plastic that is unfortunately the most toxic plastic for children's health and the environment. From production to use to disposal, vinyl uses and releases some of the most dangerous chemicals on the planet, including chlorine gas, which was originally used as a chemical warfare agent in World War I, ethylene dichloride, vinyl chloride, mercury, dioxin, phthalates, lead, PCBs, the list goes on and on. So it's a fundamentally hazardous plastic to make. There's no safe way to make it, use it, or dispose of it. It's toxic throughout its life cycle.
I had a question from somebody the other day on my Q&A blog where she said, I like to wear sandals, and I don't like the way 100% leather sandals look. So I want to wear the toxic sandals that are sold, you know, like at Target. I mean, I don't want to single out Target. There's most of the sandals that are made out of vinyl. And she wanted to know, was there a way that she could detox these sandals, because it was more important to her to wear this fashionable thing than it was to look at what are the safe materials. She says, I have to wear my fashionable sandals. And yet all of these shoes that people love the style of, they're all made from vinyl. And I want people to understand this, that vinyl is in all kinds of things that we don't even think about. So tell us some other places that we might find vinyl.
Yeah, absolutely. So vinyl is most commonly used in building materials. The number one use of vinyl is in PVC building materials. So, for example, piping. The white piping that you may have in your home is vinyl. The flooring, vinyl flooring in your home or you're in kids' school, is PVC. Other examples include carpet. A lot of times carpet is backed with PVC. So it's found in all sorts of building materials in our homes. It's also found in building materials in schools, playground equipment, even the linings of windows and doors. So the number one use of vinyl is in building materials in our homes and schools. Other uses, it's also commonly found in all sorts of consumer products. You mentioned apparel. So it's sometimes found in certain clothing items, such as fake leather products like vinyl purses, for example. Mm-hmm. It's also found in consumer products like three-ring binders, vinyl three-ring binders, school supplies and office supplies, plasticated paper clips, those color paper clips that we often use, or vinyl. So other products include vinyl shower curtains, and even children's back-to-school supplies, such as backpacks and lunchboxes, and it's even found in electronics products like computers and laptops. Unfortunately, to manufacture, use, and dispose of this product is nothing short of an environmental nightmare. It's widely considered to be the most hazardous plastic on the planet. And when we buy these products that are made out of vinyl, we're contributing to the contamination of environmental justice communities in places like Louisiana. We're exposing ourselves to hazardous chemicals like phthalates and lead. And finally, when these products are eventually disposed of, when we throw it out, we're releasing dangerous chemicals like dioxins into the environment, which eventually make their way through the food chain and get into our bodies. So we're actually contaminating ourselves when we're using these products, when we're buying vinyl plastic products.
The other day I went into a large office supply discount warehouse, and I was looking for a cardboard binder because they had sold them for a while. I could just go in and buy them at the store instead of ordering them by mail. And they've discontinued them, and every single binder on the shelf, I mean, it was probably 100 feet of vinyls, of shelving for binders. They had vinyl binders in every color of the rainbow and every size, and every single one of them was vinyl. And that just amazes me that they can't do better than that. And I also want to make a point that it's so important to understand that whatever we put into our bodies comes back. And I mean, whatever we put into the environment comes back into our bodies, because we're breathing the environment, we're eating the environment, we're drinking the environment. So just because something's going into the environment doesn't mean it's not coming to us as well. We need to take another break. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Gadd, and we're here with Mike Shade from the Center for Health, Environment, and Justice. We're talking about vinyl, its the health effects, the environmental effects, and what we can do to protect ourselves. We'll be back in a minute. Listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Gadd, and my guest today is Mike Shade from the Center for Health and Environmental Justice, also known as CHEJ, and we're talking about vinyl, or PVC, is it's also called, and where it is in products and what we can do about it. Mike, what's going on in the market? Are they moving away from vinyl?
Oh yeah, absolutely. So as we talked about, you know, vinyl is really considered to be the most toxic plastic on the planet. So in response to these concerns, there's been a huge market shift away from the use of PVC. In just about every major sector of the economy, you'll see major Fortune 500 companies that have adopted policies to phase out the use of vinyl and phthalates, whether it be...
What are some examples?
Yeah, so among retailers, big retailers like Target and Walmart and IKEA are working to reduce the use of vinyl and phthalates. In fact, IKEA worked to eliminate the use of PVC over 20 years ago, going back to 1992.
Good.
Automobile manufacturers like Honda and Volkswagen, even electronics companies like Apple and HP and Dell. So, for example, if you buy a new Apple MacBook or iMac, it'll be completely PVC free. So just about many major Fortune 500 companies are ditching these hazardous chemicals because they recognize that they're not safe for the environment, they're not safe for children's health, and they're also bad for the for companies' bottom line, given that there are many countries and governmental agencies across the world that restrict the use of vinyl or related chemicals.
Is there a PVC-free list?
Yeah, absolutely. We have been compiling all sorts of information about both the hazards of PVC and safer alternatives. Folks can visit our website at pvcfree.org to get involved and learn more. So, for example, in terms of a PVC-free list, every year we publish a back-to-school guide to safer school supplies so that parents can identify safer products for their families. We're actually just about to publish a new list in a couple weeks. We also have a interactive website called This Vinyl School, where you can see information about what are the most common products in schools that are made out of vinyl and what are safer alternatives that we can encourage our schools to use, especially because we know that children are really vulnerable to the health hazards of vinyl and phthalates. The good news is that there are safer and cost-effective alternatives that are available that are safer for our environment, but most importantly, healthier for our children.
Well,
and if you go to our website, again, that's bbcfree.org.
I'd like all the big box office supply businesses to carry cardboard binders instead of PVC binders. That's the change that I'd like to see, because as a writer, I'm always needing binders and I have to order them online. And people should be able to go into any of these stores and be able to buy them for their children to use at school. The children should not be using vinyl binders, period. That's
oh,
just
yeah,
it.
Absolutely.
And
yeah, last
and,
year we, oh, go ahead.
Well, it just doesn't make sense to me that, that these big companies would continue to sell these vinyl, toxic vinyl binders when other binders are easily available.
Yeah, last year we published a study which found that many popular children's school supplies, including binders, contain high levels of phthalate chemicals that are so toxic they've been banned in toys, yet they're allowed to be put into products like binders that children and other vulnerable populations come in contact with. We have seen some movement in the right direction in the case of binders. So Staples, for example, if you go to Staples today, you'll see that many of the three-ring binders that Staples sells are PVC free. They're actually labeled as such. Now, not all of them
really?
Are
I will go right
recycled.
Down to Staples and see.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, you'll see on the side or the cover of them, many of them are labeled PVC free. Now, not all of them are cardboard per se. Some of them are made out of polymers,
yeah, but,
other plastics that are.
They're made out of other plastics, but they're still, but they're not PVC plastics.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they don't contain phthalates, which is great. And then also, they're not chlorinated plastics, so they don't release dioxins when they're made and when they're disposed of, dioxins being some of the most toxic chemicals on the planet. So the market is beginning to move away from the use of vinyl in school and office supplies, like binders, but, you know, obviously there's a lot more to be done. And one of the things that we're doing actually this summer is we're actually in the process of trying to raise money to test more children's school supplies like binders for the presence of phthalates, because last year we found phthalates in 80% of school supplies that we tested, 75% of which so high it would be illegal to sell these products if they were toys. But because they're not toys, because they're school supplies, there's this loophole in the law that that allows retailers and manufacturers to continue to sell binders and other school and office supplies laden with these very harmful chemicals, phthalates, which are linked to asthma, they're linked to reproductive health problems, the list goes on and on. So we're trying to raise funding to test more school supplies this summer, and so that we can educate consumers about this problem and how to find safer and healthier alternatives, as you stated.
And if you'd like to make a donation to help them do that, you can just go to chej.org, and I think it'll be apparent what to do once you get there in order to make that donation. I would like to really reiterate what you just said about the fact that there are laws that will say that to limit a chemical in one type of product, but not limit it in another type of product. Because I don't want people to like hear that, well, you shouldn't have phthalates in children's toys. That's how toxic they are. But, and so then they think, well, phthalates have been banned. Well, no, they haven't. Because it's only for children's toys. And so they're still in all kinds of other products. And I think that that's pretty amazing that if it can be established that it shouldn't be in children's toys, why is it okay to be in a binder that a child's taking to school? And I think that that's something that needs to be addressed on a government level, that if they establish that a toxic chemical shouldn't be in one kind of product or that it needs to be labeled
with a warning label on one kind of product, that it goes across the board. Like, for example, with another chemical, with formaldehyde, in particle board, it's supposed to have a warning label on it, but as soon as you cut that piece of particle board and make a table out of it, for example, it's now furniture instead of a building material, and it's not required to have a warning label. Exact same material. One has a warning label and another one doesn't. So there really are tremendous variations about how things get regulated, that it's not the same across the board, and that's a problem we're facing today. We'll be back after this. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd. We're here today with Mike Shade from the Center for Health and Environmental Justice, and we're talking about vinyl, where it is, and what we can do about it. When we come back, Mike's going to give us some tips for reducing our exposure to vinyl in our daily life. Listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. Excuse me. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and today we're talking to Mike Shade from Center for Health and Environmental and Health, Environment, and Justice. And we're talking about vinyl, where it is in our homes, how it can affect our health, and how we can reduce our exposure. So, Mike, how can we reduce our exposure?
Well, there's all sorts of safer options on the market, as we discussed. If you go to our website at pvcfree.org, you can download reports and tip sheets for finding safer alternatives. Just a couple of tips. If you're shopping for back-to-school supplies for your children or students this summer, you should definitely check out our back-to-school guide to safer school supplies. That has information on how to find safer school supplies for your children and family. Secondly, if you're building or renovating a home, if you're doing any renovations in your home, for example, if you're putting in new flooring in your kitchen or bathroom or hallway, skip the vinyl and look for safer materials like linoleum. Linoleum is a bio-based material. It doesn't contain phthalates, and it actually lasts longer than vinyl and is cheaper over its life cycle as a result. And also, it doesn't require the use of toxic cleaning products to maintain.
What you're talking about is natural linoleum and not
stuff
that's just rolled up in a roll, which could be vinyl itself. I think that linoleum is kind of a generic term in some people's mind, but there is something that's natural linoleum made from linseed oil and other natural things, and that's what to look for.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah, it's actually a certified bio-based material. It's made from linseed oil, and it's widely available. One of the companies that manufactures it is Forbo, and they have a lot of good information on their website there. So if you're doing renovations, that's one place to start. Also look at other building materials in your home, like siding and roofing. Thirdly, if you have children and they go to a school, encourage the school district to adopt a PVC-free purchasing and building policy. So if the school is doing any renovations, they should avoid the use of vinyl in building materials. They should adopt a green and healthy purchasing policy, because a lot of schools buy a lot of stuff, a lot of products like computers and office supplies. We talked about binders. So if you're a parent and say you belong to a PTA, you can work with your PTA to encourage your school district to adopt a healthy PVC-free purchasing policy. We have a lot of great information on our website that can help you encourage your school district to adopt such a policy. And that information is available at chj.org/greenpurchasing. A couple of other tips. If you're buying a new shower curtain for your home, if you're looking to replace that old shower curtain, definitely skip the vinyl. We did a study some years ago that found one new vinyl shower curtain can release over 100 toxic chemicals into the air. So that new shower curtain smell is actually the smell of hazardous chemicals that you're breathing in. Today, a lot of major retailers like IKEA, Bed Bath & Beyond, even Walmart and Target, most of the curtains that they sell these days are PVC-free. So in searching for a shower curtain, look for a PVC-free one.
I was renting an apartment I was staying in San Francisco a few years ago. I rented a furnished apartment, but it didn't come with a shower curtain. And I was astonished that I could just go down to IKEA and get a completely odor-free, PVC-free, clear plastic shower curtain for, I think it was $2.
Oh, and that's great.
It was made from EVA, not PVC. Uh-huh. And I think that's one of the best deals there is because it's so easy. Some of these things, it's just a matter of knowing that there's an alternative. Like, why would you go buy a PVC shower curtain if you knew it was toxic and you knew you could just go to IKEA and buy a safe one for $2? I mean, this
is a no-brainer choice.
We need to have those alternatives. We need to know what those alternatives are. So it's so great that you're providing these.
Absolutely, yeah. And if folks want to learn more about this issue, there's a really fantastic documentary that was done some years ago. It's called Blue Vinyl.
I have that.
Oh, you do?
That's great. It's great.
And it's actually available
really
on Netflix.
The point.
Yeah. And I was just going to say, it's available on Netflix, so if folks belong to Netflix, you can just rent that from Netflix, and it's a great educational documentary. And if you want to educate other folks, you can organize a screening of the film in your community or for your PTA or, you know, community group, whatever it may be. That's another great way that we can all raise awareness by seeing and sharing that film.
I love the way, as I've been listening to you talk, I know for myself, my work is very focused on what consumers can do individually, but I love the way that everything that you're talking about is really oriented to community, how you can get other people involved. And I think that's the thing that most distinguishes your organization is that you really are looking at how toxic chemicals affect your communities and what can you do as a community, as a neighborhood, to work together to find the toxic chemicals that may be present in your community and to get them out of community buildings like schools or hospitals or hazardous waste dumps or whatever those things are. And it's a whole different level of operating that we do need to be taking care of the toxic chemicals in our homes. But I love that your organization is community oriented because that needs to be taken care of too. In our last few minutes here, can you just give us some examples of school supplies that are mentioned in your report so that people can just, if they don't have time to go look at the site or whatever, and they're going out shopping right after the show, give them some ideas of things that they can be looking for, what might be toxic and what might be the replacement that they could choose.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. And we actually have even a wallet-sized version of our school supplies guide.
Oh, great.
That folks can download on our website so that, you know, if you're shopping on the go and you're just looking for quick tips. So a couple of quick ones. So if you're buying a backpack for your children and you want to avoid backpacks with those shiny plastic designs, those often contain vinyl and often contain phthalates. Our study last year found some backpacks containing levels of phthalates 50 times higher than the safety standard. We talked about binders, three-ring binders. We recommend avoiding those that are labeled vinyl. You can buy cardboard, fabric-covered, or polypropylene binders.
Are they labeled vinyl if they're made of vinyl?
Most of the time, about 90% of the time when it says vinyl, it's PVC. So when it says vinyl, you want to avoid that. Sometimes vinyl refers to EVA, which you mentioned before, but most times if it says vinyl, it's PVC. So generally shopping for three-ring binders, you want to look for those labeled PVC-free.
Okay.
Couple of other tips. Lunch boxes are often coated with vinyl on the inside. So look for lunch boxes that are labeled PVC-free. You can also use cloth lunch bags.
Or metal lunch boxes.
Yep. Those are certainly preferable from an environmental health perspective. Paper clips, if you're buying paper clips for your kids, stick to the plain metal ones. The color paper clips are usually coated with PVC. And again, you know, we have a very comprehensive guide on our website that folks can download to identify and procure safer school supplies. And again, that's at www.chj.org to check out our back-to-school guide. And we're going to be updating and releasing the 2013 version in just a couple weeks. But in the meantime, you can check out our version from last year, which a lot of the products mentioned last year are still on store shelves, thankfully, or still available, I should say.
And I will link to that on toxicfreetalkradio.com. You can go there and go to the archive blog. And all these things that we've been talking about, I'll put links to. So you can just go right to those pages, go right to Mike's blog page, and you'll see all that, and you can just click to all these different resources. Mike, thank you so much for being with us. You've taught us so much, and I hope you'll come back again and we'll discuss another chemical and what we can do.
Great. Yeah, we'd be happy to. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
I appreciate it.
Thanks for coming. So, again, I just want to tell you that you can go to ToxicFreeTalkRadio.com. There's so many resources there. In addition to having the guests listed for the entire week, you can also go back and listen to all the shows that I've done, and there are biographies of all the guests. You can go to the archive blog. Just go to ToxicFreeTalkRadio.com and click on archive blog, and you'll see it. Also, at the top of the page on ToxicFreeTalkRadio.com, you'll see that there are other links to other parts of my website. And the first one is, it says Q&A. And what that is my Green Living Q&A that has more than 12,000 entries. It has 3,000 something questions, but more than 12,000 answers to those questions. And I've been answering these questions for years. Also, my readers answer them, and other knowledgeable experts answer them. So if you have a question, it may have already been answered. You can just go to the at the top of the right-hand column on any page on my website, there's a search box just for the site, and you can type in something like vinyl, and everything about vinyl will come up. Or you can type in shampoo, and you'll get everything about shampoo. So thank you for joining me today. This is Toxic Free Talk Radio, and if you enjoyed this show, please tell your friends and come back tomorrow.